And they're off.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Retailers couldn't have asked for a better start to the holiday shopping season. Americans spent $360 on average this weekend. That's about 20% more than last year. But stores put on huge discounts to draw the crowds. And Scott Krugman of the National Retail Federation wonders whether the spending pace can continue.
It's no secret that consumers have been getting their spending power from their homes, whether home equity or refinancings. That's simply not happening right now. The good news for retailers over the holidays is that consumers look at the holiday season as necessity spending, not discretionary spending.
7 out of 10 shoppers went to Walmart over the weekend, according to a Reuters poll. That's good news for the retailer, considering its November sales numbers look to be their worst in a decade. But there's always the rest of the world. Today, Walmart could have its first business venture in India. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi.
Walmart has been chomping at the bit to start selling to India's fast-growing middle class, but government restrictions on foreign ownership have held it back. Only single-brand sellers are allowed to own stores here. But today, Indian billionaire Sunil Mittal announced his intention to partner with Walmart in a joint venture that he described as a partnership of equals.
It will be a partnership of two very well-respected companies in their own right. I mean, the names have to be decided, but it will be franchised by Walmart.
Mittal says his company will own the stores and Walmart will set up the supply chain. Walmart hasn't officially commented on the deal, but analysts say it's easy to understand why they would want to gain access here. Right now, only 3% of Indian shopping is in big stores or chains, but India's retail market is expected to be worth $600 billion in another 10 years. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Automaker Ford lost $1.4 billion the first half of this year. Part of that is the cost of restructuring the company. Today, a moment of truth for that plan. Workers have until midnight to take a buyout. Elisa Roth reports.
Ford's offering a choice of buyouts to all 75,000 of its hourly workers in the U.S. The company's hoping that nearly half will take the offer by the end of the day. It's also offering buyouts to salaried workers, though they have a few more weeks to decide. Ford's not saying how many workers have signed up so far, nor how much the buyouts will end up costing the company. Argus research analyst Kevin Tynan says it's a tough choice for the workers.
Do I take this and really give up almost everything I've known up until now and start completely new? Or do I hold on and hope that the company management has enough to turn this thing around and I have a job and pension and healthcare benefits for the rest of my life?
Tynan guesses only about 30% of Ford's factory workers will take the gamble, and that won't be enough to solve Ford's financial problems. But even if Ford reaches its target for the buyouts, Tynan says the company won't be in the clear until it starts building better cars. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Signs are pointing to a lower opening for Wall Street this morning. The Dow starts the week at 12,280. The NASDAQ is at 2460. The S&P 500 begins at 1400. Oil is up to about $60 a barrel. This is Marketplace. So now maybe you're thinking about decorating the house for the holidays. Not to be a Grinch, but that could be a bad idea if you're trying to sell your home. Here's Alex Cohen.
Best to keep the inflatable Santas and robotic reindeer in the attic this season if your home is on the market. Real estate professionals say it could make the difference over how fast it sells. Susan Childers of the home staging firm Haskell House Studios says buyers want to envision a home as theirs, which may be hard to do if your house is cluttered with the spirit of Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa.
Not everyone that views your home is of that faith, and you just want to keep it neutral, no giant things or nothing that's all through your house.
If you must decorate, Childers recommends putting modest items on your mantle if you have one, since that will highlight the bonus feature of a fireplace. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
I know it's not even December yet, but Newsweek's Alan Sloan is already thinking about New Year's resolutions for the country. Of course, being a contrarian, he's come up with things we should not do next year. His list begins with Social Security.
Well, we shouldn't, quote, fix it the way we fixed it before, which is by just raising the taxes, trimming the benefit formula, and let everything go on as it is. We now have this crazy structure where there's a supposed Social Security trust fund with $2 trillion in it. But because there is a trust fund, everybody declared the problem solved 20 years ago, and it wasn't solved. We got to fix it, and if we're going to keep the structure, we've got to actually save the surplus by putting it in mortgages or something other than Treasury securities, because Treasury securities don't help the government cover its own bills.
All right, let's move on to resolution number two. Don't keep betting on China. Explain that one.
Sure. If you look at what's going on in this country, we have amazingly low interest rates considering the size of the budget deficit and the trade deficit. And a lot of that has to do with the way China is lending us cheap money because they're sending us goods. They end up after a batch of steps with Treasury IOUs. And that way, everybody's happy until something changes, either the Chinese financial system, which is not in wonderful shape, blows up, or when the masses in China figure out that instead of building their own country as much as it could, the government is lending money to the United States cheap. And when that happens, we don't want to be in a position of desperately depending on Chinese financing. And for that matter, the Chinese probably don't want to be in a position of having to depend on the U.S.
Okay. And finally, don't eliminate the alternative minimum tax and don't eliminate the estate tax. Why not?
The problem with the AMT now is it gets people in the middle and upper middle classes, and it doesn't get the people it was originally designed for, who are the very high income people who don't pay any tax. So rather than just wiping it out of frustration, I think we ought to redesign it so it goes back to what it used to be. The estate tax is one of those things also originally designed a million years ago for a handful of very, very large estates that for a variety of reasons got to be a plague for much of the middle and upper middle classes. And I think what we ought to do is take the 2009 rules, which would let a married couple bequeath $7 million without estate taxes. And by the time if you just kept those rules in place, you'd keep a lot of the revenue from the estate tax. You'd affect only a small number of estates, and you'd still have something resembling economic justice.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.